Fantastic, fabulous Friday. I actually got it right that time.
Yeah.
And we have with us Samantha. I finally got her on Family Chat with me after asking her for like maybe a week.
It's been longer than that. It was last Friday.
That's been a week.
Oh, it's been about a week.
Anyways.
So I thought it was a week.
Make sure you share, you like, you subscribe, hit the little notification bell, let everybody know the Ryan Wright YouTube channel is live, because we have an on-time word today from the Lord. Would you like to tell everybody what it is?
The topic for today is how to know you're yielded to the anointing.
Oh yeah, solid topic.
Yeah.
Anyways, but before that, we have Family Chat, where we want to talk with you guys, so tell us who you are, where you're watching from, and what color socks you're wearing. I'm wearing white socks right now.
I think mine are pink. I don't know.
You know what? Why not? Do a flip. Fun fact,
yeah,
guys,
I
cannot do a flip.
Same.
Maybe on a trampoline. But anyways, okay. So our Family Chat question for today is, if you could make any animal the size of an elephant, what animal would you make?
My first choice was a cat.
Which is a solid choice.
Yes. But then the more I thought about it, a lizard would be even better.
You know how much fun that would be? It'd be like Godzilla, just like roaming around, and it's like, ah! And then it's that just like, true. Oh, it's just a lizard, guys. Like,
no worries.
Don't worry about it. Let's see. Skylar said, just chilling, and he's not wearing socks.
What?
Okay.
Hannah's wearing white socks.
Matthew said, Blinko. What does
that's
that
white,
mean? Yes, it's white. Cool. Barrett said, "Do your socks have the drip hand?"
I don't know what that means.
I do not want to say that again. I'm so sorry, guys. That was rough. That was. Oh, dude! It took me a solid minute to understand that Skylar meant he wanted an ant to be the size of an elephant.
I was like, "Why is he putting ant?"
That's what I was saying, but I was like, oh, that makes sense. Hannah said, yes, they are no show, comfy socks, they are drip. Guys, can we just exonerate that word? Can we just get rid of drip?
Yes.
Like, never exist again.
Okay.
Skylar said, Hannah is the master of drip. Guys, let's
stop the word.
All right, get rid of drip. Bring swag back. I'm going to start a new movement. Hashtag bring swag back. Guys, tweet it out. Put it on Instagram.
No.
Hashtag bring swag back.
Grayson says, okay, for defensive purposes, a wolf, because they can be trained to be loyal like a dog, but would be big enough to tear anybody up if needed. Also, to ride on.
That's true. Do you know how cool it'd be if, like, we got rid of cars and we just pulled up to school on our, like, giant wolf? Like, this is my wolf. His name's Maximus. Got the 2000 drip.
But what would you do while you're in school?
He just sits there in the parking lot with the bone, you know? Or he goes and runs around. Like, they have a little dog park. Could you imagine how big dog parks would be if dogs were as big as elephants? Like, the ground would be shaken. What did Barrett say?
Where?
She said, what Gen Z something? What current Gen Z word should go away? Okay, skibbity, not a Gen Z word. That is Gen Alpha. My generation did not come up with that. I will stick there on that line. Grayson said, also, I'm at Great Wolf Lodge, so wolves are on my brain. That sounds like fun.
Yes, that does sound like fun.
I've never been to Great Wolf Lodge.
Same. No, I've not.
But it sounds interesting. Barrett said, I think Gen Z and Gen Alpha are the same. We are not. We are not the same. No, that is a hill I am willing to stand on and fight for. Bella, we are not the same.
She is very opinionated.
What? No. Oh, I never. Okay, turtles. Could you imagine making turtles as big as elephants?
That would be hilarious. We could ride on those as well.
Exactly. I know they're like really slow, but if they get bigger, would they be faster? Because.
No, well, maybe their legs might be longer. Their
steps would be really big, though.
That is true.
Grayson said, "Guys, it's so fun. You should go. We should go.
Yes, we really should.
That would be so fun. Just like the Lunch Plus crew, just going and like vlogging it.
Yeah,
that would be solid." Skylar said, "I agree, Barrett. I'm assuming he's agreeing to Gen Z and Gen Alpha." But I can tell you, as Gen Z, we are not the same as Gen Alpha. Jolene says, hi!
She's also agreeing with Barrett. Or is that for the opinionated people?
Oh, it might be the opinionated. Probably. Barrett said, let's add Belle to the top of the list of Lunch Plus's opinionated people. That guys, I don't know what you mean by that at all.
Skylar said Matthew's comment is wild.
He said dab. Oh my gosh. Dabbing and dripping. I think we got rid of dabbing a while ago.
Come to me. Skylar, you're Gen Z? What? I thought you've been a millennial this whole time. I thought you were in my age bracket of people. My mind is shocked right now. You're a Gen Zer? Wow, does life make so much more sense now? Wow. Okay, I understand that may not have been like the most shocking comment of all of family chat, but that like shook me to my core. That and hearing Arabella say wolves, woofs. Either way, woofs. She and Hannah, that's just how it's pronounced. So if you hear wolves, they're talking about wolves, much not Twilight. They're just talking about wolves in general. Okay. Wow. Skylar is 27. Hannah, are you 27? Wow, you guys. Okay. Wow. Okay, we can hand it back. I'm just, the Hoparang chat just changed now. Okay, over to you guys. Wow.
Skylar, because of this, he's Gen Z, so he's saying that Gen Z and Gen Alpha are the same. We're not the same, guys.
But he also
says, Gen Z. He gets to determine if it's the same.
I'll fight him on this. We're not the same.
But he also said he identifies as millennial.
So then he can't say anything about Gen Z and Gen Alpha being the same if he's going for a millennial. Speaking of which, why did they make 97 the beginning of Gen Z? They should have just made it 98. I know they do it every, like, 15 years or whatever.
Then that's why.
But they should have just ended it on a... No, they should have ended it on an even number, not an odd number. Because then that messes everything else up. That feels weird.
Hannah said because of her older cousins, she also identifies as millennial.
Technically. Okay, but hear me out. Most of Gen Z does a lot of millennial things.
That is true.
So Gen Z is that weird, like, millennial mix.
That is true.
Like we're own people, but we have a lot of millennial in us.
Yes. Joni said, "Too Sittler, you're not a millennial."
I said mostly. Wait, Is Joni a millennial?
Yes.
That makes a lot of sense. Whoa, we're fading out. Bye, guys.
Wow, I am here. George, way to bring me in. I was just texting, like, sassy comments to Hannah. So, hey, guys, I'm also here. Here's a question. Tell me what generation you're a part of without telling me what generation you're a part of. I'll go first. I was telling this to William and the crew earlier. I celebrated Y2K surrounded by my Beanie Babies watching Xenon Girl of the 21st Century. That's what generation I'm from. What generation are you from? Over you guys.
We had DVDs, and we would put them in our DVD players, and we would always get these lovely Disney commercials, and it's like, if you wanted to skip this, just press Disney Fast Play. And we had MP3 players, guys. I mean, I know most of you guys did, too. We had iPods.
No, we didn't. You know why? Because I'm a millennial.
Interesting. Anyways, so we had MP3 players. We had iPods. We had the fun little new technology. But what really gets me is the fact that Gen Alpha does not have, they're not used to DVDs. They're just used to everything. Like, we had to explain to Benjamin what a commercial was.
Oh,
and it hurt me so bad because I was like, we had commercials, guys. It was a commercial.
Oh my gosh, these comments are solid.
Yes.
That's all. That's all I have. You, feedback.
Buddy said I couldn't use the internet if my mom was expecting a phone call.
That is true.
Joni said, I tuck in my shirt and leave the tail out and smile with my teeth.
That sounds very aggressive and pointed towards someone.
Serena said, I used cassette tapes and VHS tapes.
Yes.
Oh
yes.
My gosh.
Same.
I had to explain to one of my friends what the difference between a VHS tape was and a cassette tape.
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, guys, we're not that much younger. But we shouldn't be this, like, up there. Okay, Skylar said, I played Pokemon on my DS Lite while watching Spider-Man 2. I forgot about this. I had a Nintendo 3DS, and I loved that thing. And I'm not going to lie, my parents, I would play it while I was supposed to be sleeping, and they would come in my room, and I'd quickly put it under the pillow. But I had, I had this Mario Tennis game, and I didn't turn the volume down, so they'd be in my room, and it would just be... It would just be the music playing as I'm faking sleeping, and my parents are like, give it to me. I'm like, how'd you know?
Okay, Serena's comment literally made me laugh out loud. She said, I had to wait until after 9 o'clock to call Canada. That's just so telling of so many different things. I also like that I'm like a shadow person right now. Like, hello, it's great to see you. Also, that was Hannah, if you saw her. Let's see. Grayson also says, I wore gauchos and platform flip-flops as a middle schooler. Same. William and Hannah both brought up Club Penguin. And here's the thing. I totally played Club Penguin too, but now I feel like a creeper because it came out when I was in high school. So I just had an image of high school Barrett playing Club Penguin with like 5-year-old Hannah and William. So if that happened, I'm real sorry. That's kind of weird. Serena says she was alive without the internet. And then Marky's comment also touched my heart. She says, I'm from the Mary-Kate and Ashley Barbies generation. Here's what I want to know. Which one did you have, Marky? Because I for sure had Mary-Kate. Wow, she had both. She was the rich kid. Oh, because Billy had both. Her sister had both. As Serena says, I wore a tank top over my shirt. And to which Joni said, I wore a long sleeve shirt under my T-shirt. Very similar vibe right there. And then Marky says Little Bear and Franklin.
Okay, here's the thing. I had Little Bear and Franklin,
yes,
too.
They were awesome.
So that doesn't... I had both of them, too, guys.
Skylar just said, I wore all black all the time as a middle schooler with van shoes and stead stuff like rawr. Oh, my gosh. Did I just get a glimpse into your childhood? Wow, you were like my youth kids back in the day. You could have been my youth kid back in the day. Wow, I had not put together the age difference between us until right now.
Anyway.
Wow.
Also, guys, we have hit our 100th commenter, and that goes out to my dad, Johnny. So if you would like to claim your gift, go to whatsright.com/gift. Guys, I'm getting made fun of for how I'm talking right now, and I do not appreciate it.
Grayson, I'm going to send you a link later because I just found an Instagram account that has access to all of the Mary-Kate and Ashley content from back in the day. I have to find it again, but I'll find it.
Awesome.
That was George that just cheered like that, by the way. That was George that did that. Okay, I'm all done. I'm out, guys.
Also, this is going to prove how youngish I am. We had Vine. Like, we had the legit... Okay, it's youngish, but also old at the same time. We had the actual app. Like, yeah, that was still when the app was there. Like, I would go to YouTube. I never downloaded Vine, but I would go to YouTube, and I would watch, like, all the old, like, Vines and stuff. And I miss it, guys.
I played with Vine. Vine. I played with Vine. Hashtag. It was outside. It was part of a tree.
Hashtag bring back Vine.
The real Vine.
Bring back swag. Bring back Vine. Hannah said, I don't know what high five is.
Yeah, I don't either.
Wow, you don't?
I don't think.
Okay.
I was about to say, Grayson brought up a great point. She said, okay, MySpace, but also Tumblr, crazy time, guys. Weirdly enough, I did exist in the time Tumblr was popular.
Like, did you were just created.
Like, did I ever download
Like, I was
Tumblr?
Using that in 2011, man. Like,
I was four.
That's what I'm saying, you were new.
Joni said, Bella, the fact that you said app makes it not old, LOL. Yeah, I mean, I guess. Grayson said, anyone else have a pink, oh my gosh, pink razor flip phone?
I did have one of those. Yes.
I did not. They said, all old people have a young person inside of them saying, what happened?
Goldis, I don't think you're old. I believe in you. You're young.
Oh, that's all. Dude, you know what else was also really popular? Bands. Like, the music. Dude, I miss my CDs.
I don't understand what you're talking about. Okay. Bands have for sure been around.
Okay, I know bands have been around.
Like, millennia.
It got me thinking when I thought of bands. No. Guys, I'm getting, like, bullied behind the scenes, but no, what I was talking about was, like, bands were, like, really popular, like, the boy bands, they were really I mean, they're not as popular now.
What are your boy bands?
Like, One Direction, 5 Seconds of Summer, trying to think of other.
You know what would be cool? If Britain would put out a boy band, and there were, like, four of them, and they named themselves after some insects. Like, maybe the ladybugs? No, that wouldn't be cool. The Beatles! Yeah, that would be pretty cool.
Yeah,
but boy bands,
guys,
came out when Arabella was four.
No, so. I said they were mainly popular when I was, like, four. Anyways, I know. Joni said, Bella, LOL, you're just getting bullied. I know, guys. It's so mean. You know what else was really popular? Pinterest. But then we moved to, like, Instagram. But then we moved to Instagram and, like, Facebook and YouTube and other things. Guys.
Marky says, just embrace your age, Bells. It's okay to be your age. It's okay.
Also, CDs, though. Like, not many. I'm going back to the forever. CDs. I know. But Gen Alpha doesn't know about them. Like, and that just, it gets me. Because I'm like, because if I wanted to listen to music, CDs. We didn't have Bluetooth. It wasn't that fancy yet.
In order to listen to music, I had to turn on the radio.
Yeah.
And hope that they would put on, like, a band I liked.
I mean, I did have to listen to the radio, too. I was that weird age where we had the radio and CDs.
Pastor Nicole wants to know how much caffeine you've had today, hon.
None. I have had no caffeine. I actually got a lot of sleep last night, guys. That's probably what it is.
Marky says, this is like me trying to remember the 80s. I wasn't alive then, but it's okay.
Anyways, guys, this has been Family Chat. We love you all so much. Don't forget, share, like, subscribe. Let everybody know we are live. We are going to move on to declarations because I'm sick of getting bullied.
Oh, my God.
But we love you all.
Oh, done.
Bye, guys.
it's important for me to let you know, number one, Arabella is my goddaughter, so I get to sass her a little bit. Number two, we adore her very, very much. She is beloved throughout the ministry. Number three, she is happily eating Sour Patch Kids behind the camera right now. All is well in the studio. Just so everybody knows, everything's okay. But welcome to Lunch Plus. So excited to have y'all on here with us today. We're going to be talking today about how to know when you're yielded to the anointing. It's going to be awesome. So make sure that you share the broadcast. Skylar, I so much want to text you after this time is done, because as did I, my friend, as did I. But right now, we're going to hop into declarations, and we're going to take this time to declare the word of God over our lives and just kind of set the tone for the entire day. We're going to lay aside all generational things. Nope, don't keep going. I want to so much. No. We're going to lay aside all distractions on purpose, and we're going to enter into a time where we put praise in our mouth, where we come expectantly into the presence of God, and He is the one who leads us into the fullness of His will for the day. It's going to be an awesome broadcast. So let's take this time right now. Father, let everything that could have been a distraction, including whatever Hannah just snorted about, Lord, let everything, Marky's giggle, I hear them both, let everything be laid down at the feet of Christ. And we thank you, Father. We put on joyful, confident expectation right now. You're leading us to triumph. You're leading us to joy. You're leading us to victory. You're leading us into the fullness of what you've called us to have and to be today. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go ahead and put up our first declaration of the day. Join your voice with mine right now. Let's say this together in unity. We keep increasing in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. We increase in every way we can increase in the name. Our next declaration says, the struggle is over. Whatever was a struggle, accepting your age maybe, whatever was an opportunity, we receive victory. We receive freedom and joy right now. Things are easy and they're light. And then our daily declaration, this is what the Lord told us at the beginning of the year. This is our vision. This is what we're expecting today on the broadcast. This is our year of the fire. Lord, let your fire be on this broadcast today. And we thank you, Lord, for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, take the time, share the broadcast, and we're about to hop in right now to What's the Word, talking about how to know that you're yielded to the anointing. We'll see you there in a second.
Talk about this. Who's gonna open? Go ahead.
Marky talked about it.
Marky,
you didn't see. I was like, Hannah, did you say hi? Yeah. I don't know where you were.
I was right here the whole time. How did I miss
hi,
this?
Hi guys.
I'm gonna be quiet.
How's it going? Welcome to family. No, welcome to What's the Word. We're so excited to have you here today. It is Friday here on the Brian Wright YouTube channel. I mean, it's Friday everywhere. Yeah. It's Friday where you are too.
Probably. Wait a minute. Is it? No. It's tomorrow in the Philippines. If they're watching.
You're right. It's past midnight.
Yeah, it is.
I'm so happy to see you guys. I know they are too. But we just want to take a moment and say hi to you. If you have not yet, please say hi to us in the comments so that we can see that you're here. Hopefully. Let us know where you're watching from. And please like and share this broadcast, because the Holy Ghost has something on time for the body right now today, and all the partners and everyone attached to the body of Christ. I don't know what we're laughing at.
Just so you guys know, Hannah and I are not Philistines. We're not. This is genuinely just a trick of the camera. Marky is larger than she looks. We look like we're massive.
I look like I'm like all the way down here, like, hi guys.
Hi everyone. Wait, Hannah, set up.
Yeah, the problem. Hi everyone. The problem is William and I are like battling our headspace because he's so tall in that corner, and then I'm over here in this corner, so I have a lot of space.
She's like, because technically I'm the closest to this camera. You're the well, are you further away or is Hannah further away?
I'm furthest away, so I'm getting smaller and smaller, and as a 5 foot person, 5 foot and half an inch person,
you're really hanging on that half an inch.
Gotta remember that half inch. It's really showing right now.
I'm just thinking about how Skylar thought, and I think someone else too, but Skylar thought that you were as tall as Abby.
Because, so a lot of times, if you guys watch the broadcast, I sit in the chair William's sitting in.
Hello.
Because it makes me look like a normal height compared to everybody else.
And it makes me look like I'm 9'36".
I like my suitcase.
I like my suitcase. Yeah, we brought it in.
Yay. Inside joke
We've
there.
We've been talking about that all morning.
Anyway, it's so good to see you guys on today. Sydney is on. She said hi from Charlotte.
Ooh. Hi.
Mr. Doug George said, the Georges are watching.
Hello.
Joni's on. Pastor Danielle is on. Let's see who else is on. Like, I'm just going to guess Johnny's here.
Yep,
I'm going to guess Lisa Lamb is here.
Lisa's
Joni
here.
And Serena.
Lee has said, hello from Mount Gilead.
Hello. Lee.
And some other people, I can't see their comments right now, but feel free to say hi again, so it'll pop up fresh.
Yeah, we got Goldis on, too. I want to point that out. You joined the other week while we were on prayer, and it's been so awesome to see you here for the broadcast. Mm-hmm. I'm really glad you're here.
Yeah.
It's been really cool.
It has been really cool. Yeah, prayer has been really, really powerful in the mornings. Thank you to everyone who's been watching that and adding your supply. Prayer was really, really powerful today, and actually something that happened in prayer, it kind of spurred this flow of the word today, that what we're going to be talking about. So are you guys ready to get into it?
Yeah. I just want to say hey to Lewis first. Hey, Lewis.
Oh, yeah.
How's it going?
Hello.
It's good to see you.
And Angie, she said hi. Hey Ms. from Angie. Albemarle. Good to see you. So for anyone that was watching prayer this morning, it was really powerful this morning in prayer, and there was an authority in it. And we were praying over some things, and it was awesome. But I had a moment in prayer this morning on the live broadcast that we do at 6 a.m. And as Barrett was declaring things, I had a moment where I thought, oh, man, okay, this is kind of a serious day. It's kind of a serious prayer today. You know, we're dealing with things.
Yeah.
And the Lord, something that I was reminded of in that moment is the Holy Spirit ever sorrowful? Is he ever, does he ever cause us to feel like sad and sorrowful and heavy and a weight? Now there's a weight of his glory, absolutely, and there's a time to have compassion for the lost. But those are all things that are still light and easy. We can sense God's heart for the lost and sense that compassion. And that's something that is serious. But the Bible never tells us to be heavy and have burdens that cause us to be sad.
Yeah.
And when it comes to prayer, when it comes to yielding, we've been talking about yielding this whole week, being in His Spirit. We wanted to talk about some markers and some ways to know if you are yielding to the Spirit of God or if we're kind of yielding to our souls or our emotions. Because like this morning, for instance, I thought, okay, I guess the flow of the Holy Spirit in prayer today is just kind of somber. And then I recognized, wait, that's not how the Holy Spirit works. The Holy Spirit, what are the fruits of the Spirit? Their joy and peace and love, and his yoke is easy, his burden is light. He says rejoice always. There's never a time where God says don't rejoice. Again, we do want to have a heart for the lost, and that is something, in a way, it's serious, but it's never hard and heavy. And so we're going to be talking about today just some ways to recognize, am I in the flow of God right now? And if I'm not, how do I get back in? So it's going to be really awesome. Yeah. But anyway.
Well, you know, we were never designed to be all-knowing. Like in the garden, what corrupted man was the desire to have all knowledge or the desire to think that God was withholding something from us. So, like he says, do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We weren't designed to have all of that knowledge or to have all of that revelation. You know, that was for God. And so flowing with him in his anointing, and in those moments where there's a reverent presence of the Lord in the room, even that, we're not supposed to figure it all out. And I'm reminded of a story that Brother Brian, he actually told it, I think, the other day on the broadcast. But when he received a powerful vision, and when he shook for 3 days, in this vision, the Lord marked him with a ministry for souls. And in that vision that he had, the heart of God and the reality of the all-knowing might and power of God, that God's heart is for eternity. God's heart is for souls. In that moment, if God wouldn't have taken that off of Brother Brian, these are his words. He said, I thought I was going to die. So we were not designed to know everything that God knows. And like, if God was to smack us with everything he knows, we would probably just kaput, and it would be way too much for us. So I think a big part of yielding is recognizing that I'm not supposed to know everything. This is another phrase that Pastor actually told Barrett, and she has it written on her desk. I'm not supposed to know everything. I'm not supposed to do everything. And she could probably clarify it best in the comments, and we can read that. But we're not supposed to know all the ins and outs of everything. And I think in our logic, that's what's crammed us up so much, is if there's a reverent presence of God in the room, why is this here? Oh, what do I need to fix? Is God manifesting his presence so that I should know something? What do I need to do? And it's just yield. Just yield. Like if Eve would have just yielded in the garden, we would have a different outcome. But God's faithful and merciful, and he had a plan to work it all together. But I think that part's cool.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. One of the things, just as you guys have been talking, what's been coming up to me has been when I have experienced things in the past where I've needed to yield to the Lord. And Pastor ministered on this the last couple of days. If you guys haven't been able to watch, Wednesday we did a broadcast where Pastor ministered on how to receive in a prayer line. And yesterday we talked about what falling out looks like, and should we fall out, and what does it mean when people fall out in a service when they have laid hands laid on them and then they fall out in the Spirit. Awesome broadcast if you haven't had a chance to look at them.
Yeah.
But one of the things that I think goes along with what we're talking about today, and the Lord was bringing up as we were praying into today and praying about the broadcast, was how important it is not to get into a place of fear, thinking that we're being somber and being right in a moment. Mm-hmm. There have been times where I've had to reach out to Pastor about this more times than I could probably count. But when I've been in instances where something hasn't constantly been going and I'm needing to do this and I haven't had a task immediately that I've needed to get done, I've thought, okay, all right, there's nothing that needs to get done right now, and I don't know what to do because I'm so used to doing things and I want to do things, and I don't like just sitting and not doing anything and just receiving. And in those moments, what I did wrong was I put on fear because I thought I was doing something wrong.
Yeah.
So when we're yielding, Pastor ministered on this on Wednesday, so I'm not going to try to go behind him and say it again, but when we're yielding, when we're making sure that we're in the flow with him, one of the most important things is to make sure that we're not leaning on ourselves and we're leaning on him, making sure that he's our focus, and we're not looking to ourselves of, okay, this is what I think is right and what I think is comfortable, so let me do that instead.
Yeah, well, I know, like, for me, I've talked about this, I think, before. For me, one of the hardest days in the past, one of the hardest days of the week for me was when I would have a day off, because I was so used to giving, and I wasn't in a place of understanding, having a revelation of righteousness. So when it came time to receive rest, receive fun, just enjoy my time, be with family, I felt extremely off, and I felt bad because I was so much in works that I felt like if I'm not giving, something's wrong. And I would have that condemnation be there of something's wrong. But Pastor, yesterday, like you were referring to it in the message, there's a time to give and there's a time to receive.
Yeah.
Both of them. We need both of them. We can't always only be giving to God and never receiving. We can't be working all the time and never resting.
Right.
But for people who are in a place where they're still getting a hold of their righteousness in Christ, it can be much more comfortable to be giving. That's why Pastor mentioned, I think it was Wednesday, when you are in a prayer line, it's not necessarily the best thing just to be continuously praying in tongues or even thanking God, just speaking a bunch, because in that moment you're giving. But why have we not wanted to receive? It's because we've not known our identity as mm-hmm. righteous. It's been uncomfortable mm-hmm. because of that. But to yield to the flow of God, we have to be able to give and receive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to read Emily's comments because they're pretty good. Yeah. She said, I tend to lean towards comparison and quotations. Are they feeling his presence more? Should I be responding the way they do, etc.? She said, it totally steals from what God's trying to get to me in that moment. I've gotten better at just yielding, but the thoughts have still come.
Yeah.
And then what the phrase that Pastor told Barrett was is, I don't have to know everything, have an answer to everything, or do everything. And, like, to your point is, like, in moments where we're just supposed to be receiving, I think where I've missed it in the past is thinking, if I'm not verbally like praying or verbally saying, thank you, Lord, I love you so much, Lord, then I've thought that I'm not showing God how much I love him. Yeah. But God, his word says God looks at the heart. So even if in that moment, okay, like I'm just yielding, I can have a heart posture of thanksgiving and a heart posture of rejoicing. Yeah. And that heart posture is still in a yielded position. So I'm not completely cutting the flow off just because I'm not verbally saying, yeah, I love you, Lord. My heart says, I love you, Lord. Like Saturday night, me and Jennifer Lopez, actually, we were out volunteering. And there was a moment where I was just really, really thankful for what the Lord was giving us in that moment. But I wasn't verbally saying, thank you, Lord. I'm so blessed by this, because we were in like a social setting. And like, it would have been fine if I did, but just out of my heart came, Lord, I'm just, thank you so much. And just having that communion with him internally in that moment, like it doesn't always have to be verbal. I'm not saying don't be verbal. Definitely verbalize what God's doing. But sometimes those internal intimate moments with him are still being able to yield.
Yeah, definitely. There was a moment in prayer this morning, actually, on the broadcast where the peace of God just flooded the room. And Barrett, as she was leading prayer, she said, just if you will, just take a moment and just receive. Mm-hmm. Just lift your hands, receive, but don't pray in the spirit, just receive. And, like, I mean, we're ministering on this today. Yeah. And even me, like, this morning, even while I'm talking about this right now, so obviously there's some revelation from the Lord. But even this morning, I lifted my hands and I stopped praying. And I was like, like, yeah, I'm not praying at all right now. I'm just receiving. And that, even for me, like, my flesh this morning was just a little bit uncomfortable, and I had to force myself to just receive and not be giving. And I think I'm not the only one that, after Pastor Brian gave that wisdom Wednesday, has probably been stretched. I had I think it happened again this morning where Barrett was just praying over us as the prayer was ending. And I noticed myself just like on autopilot, just praying. And it's good to pray. I mean, the Bible says to always be praying, to not cease praying. But at the same time, in fellowship, mm-hmm. there is a time to just receive. Go down to the altar, just receive. You know, even, for instance, this is another example, is when Pastor Brian's ministered on this, when you are sitting in service on a Sunday or whatever day it is, and the minister is speaking, it's actually against the flow of God if we are just in our Bibles, just studying that whole section of the word. Or we are, this one is interesting too. Pastor has said when he's ministering or when he's listening to someone minister, he doesn't even logically think, how should I apply this?
Yeah.
Which to me, that seems honorable, is as the minister is ministering to ask yourself, how should I apply this and everything? And that's a fine question to ask. But when we start sitting there and we start trying to crank it out with our brain and try to start to figure out, how does this apply to me? What do I need to do right now? Pastor has said when we're listening to preaching, we should just completely just receive. Just allow it to be an input and only think about what that minister is saying unless the Holy Spirit starts talking. Now, that will happen. There are many times where I've been like, I don't know if Pastor said this or if the Holy Spirit said this, but this was said in the message, but it's happening so in sync that I don't even know if it was him specifically saying it or not. So that's fine. The Holy Spirit should be speaking to us while we're listening to the word. But is it the Holy Spirit, or are we just trying to crank out answers and solutions? Because I can tell you, I've listened to so many messages and walked away like not knowing what was even just said, even though logically I followed every word that was spoken, but I was only listening to the logic because I was trying so hard to receive that I actually I jammed up everything and I didn't even fully receive what I needed to. So that's an interesting one too, is just, I'm just going to receive to the preaching right now. I'm not going to have all these thoughts running as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the things, to go back to what Emily put in the comments, legitimately, what you put in there is something that for quite a long time I had to learn not to do, was make comparisons. And like you said as well, there have been times where those thoughts have still come up and I've had to put them down. But as I've gone through and spent time in the Word and asked pastors and seen different things come out, what has become more and more evident to me is that what I, at least I'll use myself as an example, what I was doing was I feared a lack of honor toward what was going on in the service more than I was cognizant of the love of the Lord toward me. I was so fearful that if I didn't do exactly what everybody else was doing or didn't make an action like somebody else did or lift my hands at the right moment or say amen at the right spot in the service, I wasn't going to receive as much as somebody else was. And that is so off from what the truth actually is.
Yeah.
It's the peace that's supposed to lead us. It's Him that's supposed to lead us, not what we think should be going on. And there have been many, many, many times where I haven't done that right. But as the Lord has been showing me how to change things and do things differently, that peace has become such a guidepost for where the right thing is. And what the scripture that had come up to me, I think this is the right one. There was a different one that had come up. Oh, that's why. It's because I'm in Hebrews and I'm trying to read Philippians out of my phone. Give me one second. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. There we go. Philippians. There it is. That's the exact verse. Amen. Philippians 4:7 says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." We're not supposed to move based off of anything other than Him and based off of anything other than peace. And that peace will actually guard our hearts and minds from having those kinds of thoughts as well. So as long as we're focused on Him, we're in the right place.
Yeah.
Trying to do anything other than do what He's led us to do is not the right thing to do.
Yeah, and that goes back to what you were talking about with it feeling like in order to be in the flow, I have to do everything right. That goes back to works.
Yeah.
That goes back to the importance of knowing our righteousness in Christ. We have playlists here on YouTube. There was a period of time a few years ago where, you know how we, if you've watched any of the Boomerang Church videos recently, and you may not have, that's okay, but if you did, Pastor did a series for months on trusting in God. Well, there was also a period of time a few years ago where everything was just focused on righteousness, our righteousness in Christ. And that's a pivotal foundation. And that will really destroy any legalism, any self-righteousness. You know, I used to think the worst thing was to be unrighteous. But actually, if you look at it, I used to think, okay, there's righteousness and unrighteousness. But I forgot that there was another category, which was self-righteousness.
Yeah.
And that's where I was. That's where I was trying to be, was that self-righteousness.
Same.
Let me do everything right so I can yield to the flow of God. But even in our yielding, It has to come from a place of righteousness. Also, okay. Hi, Mom and Dad. They're saying hi in the comments. Hi, I love you guys. Barrett put some really good comments, and she was, if you scroll up a little bit. I think this one was referring to when you're listening to a minister and then you start thinking, okay, she's mm-hmm. giving me a thumbs up. This is when you start thinking through, how does this apply to me? What do I need to fix? What does this mean in my life? But you start getting into logic while you're mm-hmm. listening, and you're really only like half listening to the minister. She said, you're taking an exit ramp the anointing isn't taking, which means you're following something other than the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. And as she said that, I just realized, you know, if the minister is speaking and I think that I need to figure out how it applies to me, whose job is that? Mm-hmm. That's the Holy Spirit's job, is to reveal truth to me.
Right.
Yeah. But if in that moment I'm trying to be the revealer of truth, that's not good. That's self-righteous, again. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, and then Barrett said, a car only has one driver. The Lord won't force his authority. If I grab the steering wheel, oh my gosh, that's rough. That's mm-hmm. that's really bad. But if I grab the steering wheel, he's going to let me drive. But is he telling me to drive, or has something else told me I need to?
Yeah. Well, a lot of it, too, boils back to the anointing breaks the yoke.
Yeah.
So in a service, when you're under anointed preaching, like, I don't want to be in the steering wheel. Like, yeah. Unless the Lord specifically has told me to. But odds are, I don't gather he would. If I'm sitting under anointed preaching, I'm not saying absolutely, but sitting in the passenger seat is the safest place for me to be.
Yeah.
And I think the mindset that's tried to creep its way into American church has been, well, let me come in on a Sunday morning and hear my good 3 points in a poem and, you know, figure out how to have a better thought life this week or whatever. Like, there's been such a soulish approach to church where that's crept into even Word of Faith, and it's something that we have to, you know, the Word says that we have the ability to tear down strongholds with the Word of God through the anointing. That anointing breaks the yoke. And so the more that I give myself to what the anointing is doing in a service, in a prayer time, in a personal prayer time, the more that I yield to what the anointing is doing, the more freedom that I'll walk in, and the more yielded I'll be able to be to the Spirit of God. Because, you know, we're not coming to church to just, you know, have the best American life and yippity woohoo and sweet by and by. We're coming to church to be equipped in the anointing and in the power of God to then go make disciples. That's our mission. We, in order to walk in the flow of the Spirit and be yielded to the flow of the Spirit, I have to give myself to the anointing. I have to give myself to what the anointing is doing.
Yeah.
And where I'm planted, those words, whether it be on the platform when someone's opening up, you know, it's not just the sermon in itself that's important, but someone who's simply opening up might say, hey, you know, XYZ, and that XYZ breaks me free. The anointing is flowing from the moment those church doors are open and on, not just open and close, but truly where I'm planted, that soil is for me. You know, there could be a time where I'm out with a family event and someone says something that just unlocks something I've been meditating on. A constant position of yieldedness is a constant life of freedom in the anointing. Because when I block the flow of God in my life, then I'm saying, I don't need everything you have for me, Father. I'm going to grab the steering wheel in these moments, but I'll let you drive in these other moments. A yielded life is a fruitful life. A yielded life is a blessed life. And the peace of God, like you said, will guard our hearts in that. But it's the anointing that breaks the yoke, not my ability to logic it out. And that's not going to break the yoke. We've seen clearly that doesn't work. We need the anointing to break the yoke.
Just to give a practical example, you know, as we were praying over the word today, I made some notes, and there's all, you see all of these, this is just verses. These aren't my thoughts or opinions. This is all verses. And I kind of saw a certain way of this word being given today. And I'll tell you what, this is nothing like what I thought that it would be. The flow of it right now is nothing like that. Mm-hmm. So yeah. there's a yielding to the flow when it goes against what you think is going to happen. Another example of that that's happening like right now is if I'm not yielding to them. You know, mm-hmm. the Bible talks about submitting to one another in yeah. love. It talks about every joint having a supply in the body of Christ. And right now, you know, I could look really, really holy and look really skilled in the Word by giving you all of these verses that I found in the Bible to support what we're talking about. And I could look really great of my parents are watching. Hi, Mom and Dad. Look at all the verses that I know right now. And whether you know it or not, we've actually been quoting scripture, even if we don't give the verse specifically. But mm-hmm. anyway, I could look really holy right now by just giving all of this information at you and all these verses and only me talk right now. I have a camera right there. It's pointed right at me. And if I want to, you know, I can have them go to this. Look at that. This single shot. And I could just stay here the whole time. And look at this. Galatians 5:22, recognizing the fruit of the Spirit through verse 20. And I could start reading all this. And I could force even the Word right now. Mm-hmm. I could, you know, talking about Galatians, that's pretty important. It's the Bible. I could bring up John 4:24 right now, all of these verses. But if I just make it all about me and this shot right here, that is not the flow of the anointing right now. The flow of the anointing is coming from all three of us.
Yeah.
So sometimes yielding to the flow of the anointing also means yielding to that flow in somebody else.
For yeah. sure.
And you'll notice what we do a lot of times just to honor one another is I'll start talking for a minute and then I completely stop. Or mm-hmm. we all do it. It's not like, yeah. you know, we just like start like winking, like it's your turn next. You yeah. know, it's not, it's a flow.
Right.
But I opened up the Word and then I didn't even go to my notes. Mm-hmm. I just completely stopped talking and yeah. I just let them pick up that baton, let them talk. But that's also yielding, that's also flowing, is not thinking you're the most important person in the room or you yeah. have the best to say. Mm-hmm. One sign of a lack of humility and maturity is if you're the one that's always talking. And I, yeah. I know I'm talking a little bit long. I'm actually talking a little longer than I'm comfortable with right now. It's been a minute since you guys have talked. And you know, if it's the flow of the anointing, that's fine. I think there have been times where, like, one person talks for, like, 15 minutes on yeah. the broadcast. I'm not yeah. saying that can't happen.
Yeah.
But am I valuing their supply? And if I'm not, that's not in the flow of God.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. It's so true that, like, flowing is okay with changing what we logically thought should happen or even soulishly, like obviously your mind will and your emotions. But yielding is saying, Lord, even if you rewrite my message, mid-message, because the anointing knows what people need. The Holy Ghost knows what we need more than we know what we need. And yeah. being yeah. able to submit to that, even in a moment where, let's say Marky does minister for the rest, or William ministers for the rest, or Barrett hops on the green screen and ministers for the rest of this word, are we genuinely okay with the anointing changing the flow of something? Are we okay if the Holy Spirit says, you know what, let's not do that anymore, or you had this plan for your life, but I've got something much better, or, you know, you thought that you needed this on a Sunday morning, I've got something much better for you. And yielding to the Holy Ghost is saying, whatever you want, Lord, I'll do whatever you want. On the 6 a.m. prayer broadcast, if the Holy Ghost leads Barrett to just sing in the Spirit for an hour straight, are we okay with that? If the Holy Ghost leads Barrett to just sit and say nothing for an hour straight, are we okay with that? Are we okay with stepping outside of what we thought it should be like in order to yield to the Holy Spirit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
One thing that One thing that I was I thought was really amazing that Barrett mentioned the other day to the worship team is she was explaining the vision that Pastor has set for worship. And one thing she was talking about was how important it is, at least for this body, Boomerang Church, which I'm referring to, is for us to put on praise every Sunday morning and to really praise the Lord and build our faith and hope in God and proclaim His goodness. And as a singer, as a worship leader, one of my easier defaults is actually to be more reverent and quiet. Even my voice, when I sing, it's a lot more easy for me to sing softly. The tone of my voice is a bit softer. And Barrett, as my leader in worship, for a very long time, and it was the Holy Spirit with her, in her, but for a long time, I didn't sing any worship songs. I was only singing praise songs. And I was like, this isn't me. I wasn't, like, I'm not doing very well with this. I don't know how to do this. But for a long time, like, I was only singing the praise songs. Yeah. And, but one thing she mentioned was even the worship team, they allow the minister to choose the flow of the service. Yeah. You know, it's not every Sunday that we end, Pastor said, Marky has a soft voice? What? Well, I don't know if you're kidding because sometimes I don't. Like, I don't know if you're teasing me because I can get a little bit loud, actually. He said, just kidding. Okay, yeah. But Barrett made a great point that even though it would be easy for me to sing soft, reverent, just pretty worship songs, we don't do that unless the Holy Spirit is specifically leading that. Mm-hmm. Because the needs of the body, the needs of the people are, we have to put on praise. Yeah. You enter His gates and His courts with praise and thanksgiving. It doesn't say you enter with soft, beautiful, reverent, slow songs. Praise, yeah. You know, people mix them, but they're actually different. But what I'm saying is you see that even within a service is there's this yielding to the flow, even if I like slow worship songs. If the Holy Spirit's not leading that, we're going to sing Breakthrough 7 times. We're going to sing we're going to sing all the fast songs a lot until we really put on praise.
Yeah.
And then maybe we'll sing soft later. But if that doesn't happen, that's okay. I can have personal time with the Lord where I can worship the Lord reverently in that. But
well, that's an excellent fruit of yielding or fruit of the flow is what does my worship and thanksgiving look like throughout the week.
Yeah.
You know, that's a great marker of flowing with the Spirit of God. And because praise and thanksgiving are a fruit of His presence in my life. You know, I've heard Brother Brian say it this way, is when he's just at a peak level of his intimacy and fellowship with the Lord, that just songs in the Spirit will just, it's just natural for him. He'll sing songs in the Spirit. And like, that's a great way to tell if I've been in an overflow of my fellowship with the Lord, is if I'm singing songs to the Lord, thanking Him, giving Him praises. If it's easy for me to enter into a place of thanksgiving with the Lord, then I know I'm yielded to the flow. If it's hard and heavy for me to be thankful, I am not in the flow. I can think of a time where I called Barrett and I was like, I help me, please help. And she was like, what are you thankful for? And I was like, I don't know. I have no idea right now. It's like, it was hard for me to think of something to be thankful for. How crazy is that? Because I had blocked the flow.
Yeah.
There was no flow because there was a no thanksgiving. So the times where I'm the most thankful is when I'm able to just flow with His Spirit. Because truly, we always have something to be thankful for because God commanded us to rejoice always. So by that commandment, we have the grace and empowerment to always have something to rejoice about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like the scripture says, think on things worthy of praise. It doesn't say think on things other than things worthy of praise. Legit, just think only on things worthy of praise.
Yeah.
Another one of the fruits that was just coming up as you were talking a second ago was the fruit of the Spirit came up. Love, joy, peace, patience. And joy is how we draw from the wells of salvation. But yeah. The one that I wanted to focus on and the Lord had brought up to me was love. And the scripture that he gave me was 1 Corinthians 13. And just starting in verse 1, it says, if I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but don't have love, I've become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal.
So funny.
Yeah. I don't know why it hit me funny, too. It doesn't normally make me laugh, but it was just like, ha-ha.
Well, it's funny because I was just meditating on that scripture this morning.
Yeah.
You're, yeah.
Yeah. Right. Anyway.
It's great. It's awesome.
Good, good.
It's awesome. No, it's good. It's good.
Amen. Voice cracked right there. Okay, verse 2. It says, if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but don't have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor and I surrender my body to be burned but don't have love, it profits me nothing.
It's so like strong.
It's so black and white.
I am nothing.
Yeah, if I don't have love, I am nothing. Well, it's great. It's great that it's so black and white, though.
It is. It really
is. Like, it's not. True. It's not. Oh, if you have love, you might be a little bit of something. No, if you have no love, you are nothing.
Not a
zero, zilch, nothing. But what was coming up to me was that when we're yielding to the Father, when we're yielding, when we're wanting to receive, we have to be in love,
mm-hmm.
and we have yeah. to have we have to have love in us. If we're trying to get something from the Father and trying to receive and not being in love, then what in the world are we doing?
Yeah.
And the example, oh, Lord, help. There was an example the Lord gave me in prayer this morning, I believe. And that's what it was. It was a prayer line. And the minister, it wasn't Brother Brian. It was somebody else that was going through and ministering and laying hands on people. But as they were going through and laying hands on people, the minister was somber, but not somber in a place of, oh, this is so reverent and holy, and I'm going to do this thing. No, he was reverencing the Father. But everybody who was receiving, they had like all these strained faces. They're like, I'm going to receive so much right now. This is going to be great. Ugh. Which is like the weirdest thing ever to have pop into your head at like 6:45 when we're praying about something else. But I was like, okay, Lord. And, excuse me. But what the other thing that was a part of that was there was the minister walking through laying hands on people. There were the people with the like strained faces. But then there was the Father walking right behind the person who was laying hands on them. And he is having a blast of a time. Like just completely massive grin on his face, smiling, laughing, having such a fun time, just blessing his kids. Mm-hmm. And they're all there like, oh my gosh, this is so good. Thank you, Lord. And honestly, I think that's so many times how we've tried to be when we've received.
Yeah.
And not just in a prayer line. That was just the example that had come up. But I'll use this as an example. I know when I have wanted to spend time with the Father and, you know, make sure, get in the Word, spend time in Word, prayer, praise, fellowship, that kind of stuff, I've wanted it to be a certain way because I haven't wanted it to be wrong.
Yeah.
Like, I've wanted to package it in this nice, neat little box of, yes, Lord, this is what you want me to do, right? I am going to do it in this way. And it's kind of like the, I don't know if you guys have ever watched Seinfeld. There's an episode with a guy who makes soup. And if you don't order the soup the perfect way, if you don't step, no, yes, no here, supreme. I would like a bowl of minestrone. Thank you. Bread, please. If you don't order it the perfect way, you're not getting soup. But the Lord is not the soup dude from Seinfeld. The Lord wants you to be in joy and have fun, and he wants us to have life and life yes. to the full and life to abundance, which means we have an abundance of joy and love yes. and yeah. peace. And if we're not in joy, then we're not drawing properly on him.
Yeah.
So if we're trying to come to him with this nice, neat little box of, Lord, this is what I want to give to you, I am being Cain in this moment, and I have this that I have prepared in this specific way. Here you go. That versus, Lord, I love you so much. This is what I did for you, and I'm so excited. I just want to be with you right now. I want to spend time with you. And I don't care if I look goofy. I don't care if this is in the right box. I understand that there's things that you've told me to do, and I'm going to do those things the way you asked.
Yeah.
But this doesn't have to look anyway. I just want to love you right now, Lord. The difference between the first one and the second one is all of the difference. Because with the one, we're loving the Father with all of who we are. And with the other one, we're trying to be in this nice, neat little box of, let's make everything perfect. And it doesn't have to be stodgy. It doesn't have to be stiff. The Lord just wants us to love him.
Yeah, amen. One thing Pastor pointed out that Emily had said was...
I'm so sorry.
Why are you laughing?
Barrett's comment.
Barrett quoting you?
Nope, I shouldn't have checked my messages.
Okay.
Yep, continuing.
So, in case you're wondering, whatever was just texted to William is not the flow of the anointing to be shared right now.
Yep.
That's maybe the flow of the anointing for his phone and the text messages, but not right here. But, Pastor said, that's a good message, Emily. Or he said something like that. But Emily said, we really find out if we are in humility or not when our plans that we took time to prep go out the window due mm-hmm. to the flow changing.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's so true.
Yes.
Another thing coming up to me was, as we, actually all of us, are in youth ministry, and as we lead the youth, a lot of times we'll go into praise and worship, and they, if any youth are watching, I love you so much. I know Bella at least is. I mean, this isn't as much Bella, but a lot of times the youth that are young and they're not used to, they're like new to the youth group, they'll come into praise and worship and they'll be like so serious, like yeah. extremely serious. And sometimes I'm okay if we mess something up or something happens right. that's funny, or someone's voice cracks or something like that. Like
yeah.
in the youth, we're a little bit unpolished, but part of that I'm okay with because mm-hmm. it helps the youth to just relax and right. know it's okay to be in joy right now. I don't have yeah. to be so yes. serious. And so or that happens perfect. A lot. Yeah, we're perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. That's such a good point. Like I remember there was a time when I think it was during the fast and I was dehydrated. And my foot was cramping so bad, and I kept jumping. And I remember I said in the mic, I was like, "Guys, my foot is cramping, but God is still good. Like, let's praise."
I think I remember that.
But while you were talking, William, about having like everything like kind of like prim and proper in your fellowship with Him,
yeah,
I was reminded of the scripture in Genesis. This is 2. I had to find out exactly where it was. But this is 2:19. It says, out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called the living creature, that was its name. So God partnered with Adam. Yeah. He gave Adam the ability to be creative. You know, it's not wrong to be led by the Spirit of God in that way. I'm sure yeah. Adam was led by the Spirit of God because he was with God. He was communing with Him. But out of that fellowship, God allowed him to choose. And there is a flow with the Lord where He's not forcing us to do it prim and proper, and it's always got to be in these lines, and it's always got to look this way, and if not every elephant is purple, then all the elephants are wrong. Like, God is allowing us to have life to the full till it overflows. He wants us to be in joy. He wants our fellowship with Him to be fun. He wants us to yield to Him and have fun with Him. You know, He's our dad. He's our father. He's not looking to condemn us or strike us down. Or you didn't say in the name of Jesus 3 times after your prayer. You didn't sing Holy Forever 4 times in a row and then do a little jig. I can't bless you today. That's not God. Yeah. It's a flow and an intimacy and a sweet, precious thing with God, and not something to be rigid about or be so hung up about, because being tense, that's not fun. If I was always tense with Marky, that would not be fun.
Yeah.
Sometimes I have been, and it's not been fun. If I was always like, hey, William, how are you doing today? I hope you're doing good. Okay, I'll see you later. Like, there's no flow to that. Like, we've just got to loosen up and shake the weights off and just have fun, because we've already been given everything pertaining to life and godliness through righteousness in Christ. He'll tell us what to do. He'll tell us when to do it. He'll tell us how to do it. And if we missed it, He'll tell us how to fix it, because He's perfect love. What's so funny? Oh, I thought you were laughing.
No, I was about to do that entire thing.
You guys didn't see it.
You didn't see the either of us, but we've been chuckling for like the last 2 minutes. It's been great. I didn't see how this fit until like 30 seconds ago when you said something. But what's so important about our fellowship with the Lord is our expectation.
Yes.
That's one of the most major parts of it. And the example that the Lord brought up to me was the example where the master gives three different people different talents. It's a parable of the talents. And to one he gives five, to one he gives three, right? And to one he gives one. Is it two or three for the second one? Do you remember?
I don't know.
Doesn't matter.
One of them.
Go read it. I'm going to need to go read it because I need to brush up on it. But to one he gives five, to one he gives three, to one he gives one. It's just that one of them off to the side. Anyway, the dude with the two is not who we're focusing on right now. The dude with the one is who we're focusing on. And in that parable, the guy with five goes out and produces more, brings it back to his master and says, "Master, here you go." And he said, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Dude with the two or three did the same thing. The dude with the one, not thinking the right way, was like, "Ah, my master is a hard dude. I don't want to do anything with this because he's probably going to hit me with something hard. And I don't want to be beat, so I'm not going to do anything right now." And he went and buried his talent, and then the master came back and he's like, here you go. I did what you wanted me to, here's the one back. But that's not what he was supposed to do, because he was expecting so poorly of his master that he didn't realize that he was actually meant to go and produce. And even if he had messed up, it would have been fine. But because he didn't expect his master to be someone of love and someone of joy, he thought, "Oh my gosh, this is going to be so bad." And I know I've done that tons of times, where I've thought, "Okay, if I don't do this exactly right, the Lord is going to hit me with something." And the same way that Pastor's given the example about the Lord breaking off a chunk of a planet and having it land in your backyard as a blessing, he's going to like knock some asteroid off, and as I'm walking down the street, I'm going to conk. I'm out. Apparently.
Why would God have it hit you in the head?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Oh, okay. That's what I'm saying. It's such a dumb way to think about it. It is to expect that if we're not completely perfect, the Lord isn't going to love us as much.
That's a word.
That is a word. It's dumb to think to think that the Lord is a hard master is the wrong way to think about him. He is a God of love. Yeah. He is a God of joy. He's a God of peace. Every last one of the fruit of the Spirit, if you want to know who God is, just there. That's what it is. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. If just for the gentleness, the Lord's not going to want to beat you over the head for anything. He legitimately loves you enough to have sent his son to die on a cross, horrible, painful, excruciating death.
Yeah.
Be dead for 3 days. Like, not just taking like a nice little coffee break down to hell and then coming straight back. He was down there for 3 days, suffering, like suffered on the cross. And then he rises up so that we can be on the same level as Jesus.
Yeah.
That's how much he loves us. To think that because we had one thing out of place, oh, I forgot an Oxford comma in a sentence. That's not right. He's such a gentle and loving and good father. And it's just, he's just good.
It's so funny that the flow is going this way, because literally this morning as I was pulling into the church, I was thinking like about times I've been corrected and how like in my flesh I've been so like kind of scared.
Yeah.
But after, I've really seen the fruit of joy and peace come into my life.
Yeah.
So I'm like, why would I ever fear correction? Like, God's only ever leading me to increase in triumph. So like, same deal with the talents. Like, God's adding to me discipline so that I can have more joy.
Exactly.
So it's like, out of his perfect love, he's just looking for me to live a better life.
Yeah, he's not wanting to discipline us so that then we get used to living in this state.
Yeah.
The scripture says all discipline seems to be sorrowful. Yeah. Not joyful, but sorrowful. Seems to be.
Mm-hmm.
For a moment, the flesh is going to be uncomfortable, but it's not so that you put your flesh down and you get used to a position of, okay, I'm going to be like this now, and I'm down, but this is okay because the Lord put me here. No, he's correcting you so that you can go up.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, the flesh may feel uncomfortable, but it's to get you to more, and not just more of a production of material things. That's a part of it, but it's so that you have more joy, and that you have more peace, and that you have more love, and that you have more life in you.
Mm-hmm.
It's all so that we go up and raise up and get more of him. It's so cool.
Yeah.
God's so good, dadgummit. Yeah. I'm happy.
No, God's good. I was laughing because this is like the most like William way of explaining it. And I was laughing because I'm glad that people get to see that, where they're not just seeing the polished version of us, but yeah. they're actually seeing the real, the way that we are just in everyday life, mm-hmm. because that's how God talks too.
Yeah.
God doesn't just speak in King James. Like, he also speaks like a, like just regular, like a person and everything. But, you know, as you were talking, one thing that was coming up is you were being very matter of fact and very strong in that moment,
yeah.
even though joking part of it, but part of what was coming up to me is being in the flow. Part of that is having a line in the sand of I'm not going without the fruit of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. I'm not doing it. So if I'm in a moment where there's no peace, I'm not doing that. I'm not allowing there to be no peace.
Yeah.
If there's a lack of joy, I'm not doing that. No, mm-hmm. that's not the flow. I'm not yielding to that. And I think a lot of times, as I, like, I know for me, the Lord's literally had to, like, open up my eyes to the life that he has for us. Open up my eyes to his will of goodness. And I've thought, okay, if I have a little bit of peace here, a little bit of joy there, a little bit of love, I'm good. And really what I'm saying is, based off of my own righteousness, I'm good. You know, I've deserved like this much love and peace, but I don't deserve peace all the time. But that's not, that self-righteousness, that's not yielding to the flow. The flow of God always has peace, yeah. always has love, even gentleness always has, now that can look differently.
Yeah.
Sometimes that can look different than what the world would call gentleness. But that's something that we're not going without. We are going to have the fruit of the Spirit if we are yielding to the flow. And the good thing is we don't have to do without it. That's God's will for us.
Yeah.
And, you know, I heard someone, I think it was Pastor Brian, say Sunday, you know, he was talking about the blessings of the Lord. I don't remember exactly. But, like, one thing he mentioned was peace. And that's been coming up to a lot of us. I know as a staff, yeah. the Lord's been bringing up continuously, mm-hmm. we need to be walking in peace. Yeah. We need the peace of God. But, you know, God wants to bless us in so many ways, but we don't have to go without peace. We don't have to go without it.
Mm-hmm.
We can live in a constant state of peace. And I'm telling you that even for me, as I say that, that's stretching my thinking.
Yeah.
It's coming out of my mouth, and it's mm-hmm. still stretching me. We can live in a constant state of yeah. peace. And honestly, again, if we're not constantly in peace, we're probably not constantly in the flow of God and yielded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about the not to just prolong the word just for prolonging's sake, but truly, the world offers counterfeits.
Yeah.
Like, that's what you find a ton in the world, counterfeit ways to get peace, counterfeit ways to calm your mind, counterfeit ways to have happiness, because you can't have joy without Jesus.
Yeah.
But, if we would truly learn to yield always, like you're saying, yielding to the anointing, yielding to the flow of God, then there won't be any need for counterfeits. Like, mm-hmm. I can think of times where I've been just so overflowing with the Spirit of God that, like, I haven't wanted to watch any movies. Or, like, I haven't wanted to, you know, try to find another way to fulfill joy or peace or whatever. If something seems to be lacking in my life, it's because I haven't gotten it from the well that doesn't run dry. You know, yeah. if I haven't been overflowing, then I haven't had it from the source. And that's what he's made it available. Like, yeah. throughout the word where he says the fruit of the Spirit, he's made the fruit of the Spirit available. And what's cool is a fruit of the Spirit is patience. Patience will protect our peace.
Yeah.
Getting weary is a sign that I haven't been patient. Because if I'm weary in something, then that means I think that I need to have something that I don't. And I haven't yielded myself to the fruit of patience over a situation.
Yeah.
Patience will guard our hearts and our minds as well. I'm not making a new scripture by any means. But patience truly will support my ability to be in peace because I'm yielded to the flow. Lord, whatever you have for me, I know by faith, as I've believed it, as I receive it, and it's a matter of time that I see that manifest in the natural. I have it in the Spirit. There's no question about that. By faith, I have it right now. It's only a matter of time that it manifests in the natural, and that will protect that peace.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
The only last thing that was coming up to me was how when we focus on him mm-hmm. and we make him what we are focused on, say the same thing twice. When he's our focus.
Say it a third time.
Yeah, we'll say it a third time. When he's our focus, everything else falls away. Mm-hmm. It's not a matter of, okay, I'm going to try to go after him, but as I'm going after him, all this other stuff is going to be here in the background, and I'm going to have to deal with that at some point. And, as long as we keep...
It's like open tabs on a computer.
Yeah. As long as we keep him as our focus, all of the other stuff falls away. He'll show us what to fix as we need to fix it, but mm-hmm. we don't have to think about all of the other things that might go wrong or might need to happen or might need to get fixed. Mm-hmm. As we make him our focus and as we keep him in our sights as we're going through our lives, everything else falls into place.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That peace doesn't come from, okay, I'm going after him and I need to just really think hard about not thinking about the rest of this. That's where it says the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds. When he's our focus, mm-hmm. all of that stuff just doesn't matter anymore. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if it needs to matter, if we need to do anything with it, he's faithful to show us what we need to do. Mm-hmm. But it's not our job to, yes, it's our job to put on peace, but put on joy, put on love. But it's not a matter of, oh my gosh, I need to do all this. I have peace. I need to focus on peace right now, and I'm focusing on peace and peace, and I don't have peace, and I don't know why I don't have peace. Lord, why don't I have peace? Why don't I have peace right now? Yeah, I wonder why, because you're trying to do it in your own power. And if I had a nickel for every time I did that and wasn't thinking about the fact that I was doing it. As long as we look at him and as long as we make him our focus, mm-hmm. his peace will come in and guard our hearts and minds, and we just get to run after him even faster.
Amen. Yeah. It reminds me of a broadcast probably a year or two ago where I was actually asking Pastor about how do you receive peace in your mind?
Yeah.
And I remember he was talking about it's really rooted in the anointing and in the presence of God.
Yeah.
And the reason why I asked it was because for like a day and a half, I had been kind of troubled in my mind and just kind of anxious. And I remember I had been looking for all the answers mentally and not able to find it. And I remember as he was talking, the anointing just like, I could just sense it like come into their room. And all of a sudden, there was this peace that came into the room. And I had been looking for it and I couldn't find it. And it's because I was trying to get it mentally. I was using logic as my source mm-hmm. for obtaining peace. And I actually noticed myself doing that recently again, where I was like, okay, my mind is a little bit anxious. I need to get my thoughts in peace. And then I remembered that day where, my brain can't create the peace of God. The only mm-hmm. thing that can is God. He's the true source of peace. So as we're talking about these things, we've said it so many times, but they don't come, like William was saying, mm-hmm. they don't come by us. They don't come by our works. Yeah. All that we're talking about today, even being in the flow of God, he's the one that does it. He's the one that helps me. You know, it's like taking somebody's hand. I take his hand and he leads me into the flow. But I don't have to figure it out. And if I need peace, I ask him for it. And I receive the presence of God. But it's not something I'm trying to figure out. And this has been so good today. It's really encouraging even to me. But did you have something else?
Yeah. We've just flipped to the same scripture at the same time.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It's pretty cool.
This is 1 John 5:4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. We apply peace by faith.
Yeah.
We step into the fruit of the Spirit by faith.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's something that I receive by faith. Lord, I believe I receive your peace now. I have it. I'm not waiting on it. I have it now.
Yeah. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Would you pray that? Again, peace is just continuously come up. Would you pray that mm-hmm. And as Hannah prays, you know, we're going to apply. We're receiving this. I don't have to necessarily come alongside Hannah and I'm going to pray as she prays and we're going to do it together. No, let's just yield Amen. And receive this prayer.
Amen. Yeah.
Well, Father, we thank you so much that your word says that we overcome with our faith. Faith is the victory that has overcome. Faith is the victory that we have now. Lord, right now, by faith, we receive your peace. In the middle of the storm, you give us peace. Over every situation, over every circumstance, peace be. I thank you, Lord, that where we were running around, trying to figure things out, trying to work hard and hustle, there is a fresh peace being released right now. We work from a position of peace. We worship from a position of peace. We praise from a position of peace. We pray from a position of peace. Lord, we thank you that you've made this available to us through your precious Son, Jesus. Jesus, you are Lord. You are Lord over this time. You are Lord over this day. You are Lord over this ministry. You are Lord over our lives. Father, we commit to you fresh today. Jesus, you are Lord. Jesus, we receive your peace. We let go of anything that's not of you. Wash us, cleanse us, set us free. Let our minds be fortresses for the anointing, fortresses for the things of God. Father, we thank you that we are seeing clearly today. We're seeing brighter than we've ever seen before. We're hearing better than we've ever heard before. Peace in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, that the testimony will be, how are you at such peace? And we'll tell them, Jesus. In the name, we thank you for it, Lord. We receive it fresh today. Thank you, God, for everything you've done for us. Thank you, God, that you truly have given us everything pertaining to life and godliness. We praise you, we worship you, and this is done in the name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Well,
amen.
We expect that peace that is here, we expect we're going to carry that with us for the rest of the day and through the weekend. It doesn't have to be a difficult Saturday where we feel lost and confused because we're not working or with our church family. No, our Saturday, this can be the most peaceful Saturday we've ever had, the most fruitful, having the fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah.
If the Lord brings up to you the jokes that William made, that's awesome. Laugh.
Honestly, like, half of those weren't even jokes. that was just how I explain things.
That's true. But we thank you for watching today. Thank you for spending your Friday with us.
Yeah.
And we believe you're going to have a great rest of your day. Barrett is going to share with you how you can sow into this word if you have leading to do so. But we want to tell you, thank you for joining us today. We love you, and we will see you Monday morning at either 6 a.m. or 12 p.m. whenever you come on. And we love you, and have a good Friday.
Love you guys.
Bye. Whatever time you call morning, 6 or noon, whichever time you wake up, we'll see you then. But right now, if you are led to sow into this word today, to sow into this ministry, we desire to make the opportunity to partner with us in this way as easy as possible for you, so that way we can both be obedient to the leading of the Lord. You're under no obligation to sow. It's something that's solely between you and the Father. But if he's laying in your heart to do that, then you can scan the QR code here. You can go to giveww.org, and all we ask is that you're obedient. God blesses obedience. God honors those who honor him. So if the Father is giving an instruction and you're obedient to that, you can take it to the bank. I mean, almost literally. You can take it to the bank that God is going to honor you. The measure with which you honor him, God honors you back. God is faithful. So today, as you're sowing, So with that joyful, confident expectation, yield to him and watch as God performs his word over your seed. And let's release that word now. Lord, in the name of Jesus, for every person that is partnering with us by sowing into this field, we declare it now. Seed be blessed in the name of Jesus. Let that seed be pressed down, shaken together, running over. Let it quickly return back into the hands of the sower and let them receive a harvest the likes of which only heaven could have done. We give you praise for it and glory, and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. We thank y'all so much for being on with us today. If you do not have a place that you call home as far as church is concerned, and you would like to attend a Boomerang Church service, we're located in Albemarle, North Carolina. You can join us this Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for our time of worship service. It's going to be awesome. So if you don't have a place you call home, come be a part of what God is doing here in Albemarle. Either way, we're going to be back live this upcoming Monday morning at 6 a.m. for Frontlines Prayer. It's been tremendous what the Lord has been releasing, what he's doing in and through this ministry, through our partners, with our partners. It's going to be a tremendous time of prayer. It already has been. So join us this upcoming Monday at 6 a.m. Eastern time. We've had people literally all over the world join us for prayer. Come and be a part of what God is doing. We're also going to be live again for Lunch Plus starting on Monday morning at noon Eastern Standard Time too. So we love you. And as you are partnering with this ministry by being a part of Lunch Plus, is you are partnering with us and you want to make it official. You're ready to officially sign up and become a partner that partakes in the grace that this ministry operates in. Then we encourage you today, go to whatsright.com/partner, scan the QR code, fill that form out and officially become a partaker of the grace that this ministry is operating in. We love you guys so much, and we're so excited to be a part of all of this with you. Be blessed, and fresh, not shock, but fresh update. Easter is coming soon. We're literally like a month away from Easter, and we want to invite you to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. Celebrate the freedom, the life, the liberty that we have in Christ with us here at Boomerang on April 27th, I believe, is Easter Sunday. Come and be a part of resurrection service with us here. We love you. Be blessed, and we'll be back Monday live at 6 a.m. for Frontlines Prayer and noon for Lunch Plus. Love you. Be blessed. Never, 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 never